listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
We start on a Tuesday on Straight Outta Vegas with what we saw on Monday Night Football, preseason or not last night. It was the 49ers with a 24-15 win over the Denver Broncos.
But so, Jonas, let me jump in.
Sure.
I heard, and I didn't look at the box score. I'm going to be completely honest. I heard Jimmy G had a monster bad game. So, whatever. Like, the monster ate Jimmy G, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me over under guess what is, let's maybe passer rating?
Yeah, we could do passer rating. That's fine.
All right. So was it under 50?
It was under 50.
Under 10?
It was under 10.
Under 1?
Believe it or not, it was under 1.
Bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. It was real bad.
Now listen, here's the question. How serious is this, right? So I want to go first to the voice of the fan. I mean, this is a guy, he's not big on analytics or math or any real academics, right? You'd say that's true?
Yeah, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Bunch of mumbo jumbo. But you got your eyes. You know good football. I mean, was Jimmy, obviously it wasn't great, but did it feel like if you had watched, and here's the question, if you had watched a fourth round rookie, and that was his first game, would you have came around with it after and said, wow, that guy is not going to make it in the league? Or would you say, hey, not a great game, but nothing to see here?
I would be a little alarmed because he did look rattled, and the moment at time looked a little bit too big for him.
So the franchise quarterback making 27 sticks a year, if I think I got that straight,
yes,
is rattled by the second preseason game?
Yeah, and especially considering he's coming off the knee injury. It's his first game action since the knee surgery and the knee injury that he suffered last season. And he's going against Vic Fangio, one of the better defensive coordinators as the head coach of the Broncos now. He looked all sorts of rattled last night.
You know what's funny is, I don't know, you want to talk about rattled? Our cohort here at Fox, Colin Cowherd, now listen, he is my mentor in this business. You don't like him. Some people might think, well, maybe Jonas somehow has like editorial control and it causes RJ to say Colin is crazy. It's not just the alliteration. There's all these possibilities.
Right.
But the truth is Jonas has been great, though, with more radio experience, trying to help where he can, but saying you guys, this show is different, and I think the way you know, in general, we're in total agreement with it. He's not dictating anything. We're not dictating to him. So there are no sacred cow herds. And today, with Jimmy G, I actually heard him say that, well, listen, Vic Fangio, blah, blah. It's like, wait a minute. This is the guy that, if I recall, he was like laughing at as the head coach. Like, this guy's not a head coach level guy. The idea that somehow in the second preseason game, he's scheming it up to try to stop, you know, like, where, you know, this is our big game. I don't think I've ever heard a quarterback's play excused because of the other team's coach in a preseason game. Have you? Anybody?
Not a lot.
Even greater than 0.0?
Well, yeah. I mean, anything's greater than 0.0. I mean, come on.
No, it's not.
Not his rating last night.
Not his rating last night. That's Brad Powers, also an L.A. Jonas. I'm RJ. Now, Fez, our mandate, this is Straight Out of Vegas, is to bring the Vegas truth. So let's see if this conversation is agreed upon. The idea there is something, as Jonas said, though it seems a little bit of an oxymoron, a little bit alarming. Seems like alarm is alarming, right? But he's saying, you know, if you looked at it from a certain angle, it could be a big problem, but maybe that angle is not right, is I think what he's saying. That's not the question. We're not here to decide for sure how good Jimmy G is. And this is where I think people and books and movies and music videos, this is what they get wrong. There's a beginning, middle, and end to that. At the end, Michael Corleone goes over to the bad side and Kay is the door shut on her. That's the end of Godfather 1. There is an end. But in real life, Michael, if there were a Michael Corleone, continued on with his cohorts, like Jonas and Colin. This is instead the organized crime, and they're doing their bootlegging or whatever the heck they're doing. But for us, the movie ends. There is no right answer to how good Jimmy G is. There's a right answer that we think there's a preponderance of evidence on, but it's not like you go to the back of the geometry book and see what a complementary triangle is. Oh, yeah, I was right. No one knows. And you know something? We don't even know for sure how good Tom Brady is on any given day. We can look back and say how good he was, but even that, you could say, well, we're not compensating for his receiving corps, or we're not kind of giving him credit for the fact that the line was so bad. There's no objective, pristine way to assess these things. But luckily, straight out of Vegas, we're talking percentage chances. If you tell me that Jimmy G's chance of having an outstanding year, in your mind, you project it to decrease a little bit because of this new data, I would say I tend to agree. But at no point are we coming to a conclusion. Rather, we're trying to predict the future. That is the emphasis of this show. And quite frankly, I've never thought of it this way, but that's the biggest distinction between this show and every other show. Every other show is looking backwards and trying to explain what happened. And I think that's very virtuous. I listen. I'm trying to take that prior information, formulate it, and present it as what the future holds. Literally telling the future. Now, luckily, 50% happens in our binomial type heads or tails games by just flipping a coin, even a drunk baby, as some may say, flipping a coin. We only need to win one out of 20 games extra to hit 55%, and we have a mansion and a yacht, or at least Faz does, and the drunk baby flipping coins, he's losing a lot. He doesn't know it, but that VIG is eating him away, right or wrong?
Exactly right.
So, yes, we predict the future, but just a little bit better than the average person. And little bit means it's an accumulation of a lot of really little edges. So let's see what the betting market says first. So let's look at season wins. Before last night's catastrophe, the season win total for the 49ers, and this is 16 games, over, under, how many wins?
8 wins.
Okay, so now disaster strikes, and how many wins now?
8 wins.
Okay, hold on. It hasn't changed.
Not at all.
All right. Same thing, and we won't belabor the skit. No move in week one. Week one, line's exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Still catching plus one at Tampa Bay.
All right, so 49ers plus one. So right now, Jonas, the betting market is saying, woo-wee, relax, everything's fine. Now, is that because the betting market is so wise and shrewd? I think it is come game day in big markets. Like NFL sides, you can win millions of dollars, literally. Fez, we've talked about this. If you wanted to really get down 300K and someone gave you a mandate, here's the bricks, get down 300, you might have to take a slightly half point off here or there, but you could get 300 down no problem.
No problem at all.
Because a given book's going to take 50 large, no problem on an NFL side.
Yeah, and one book might take the 300K.
Exactly. Now, if you have... Now, you might think college basketball totals. I heard those were beatable, and maybe they are. Literally, it's hard to get down at one book $500.
That's the limit of most books.
That's the limit.
Wow.
And some books are like 150. I mean, it's like they want only recreational action. That's a business decision. But think about how confident are the bookies that the marketplace is shaping up the line in the NFL enough that come game day, they're willing to take $50,000 from an unknown guy or even a face like Fezzik. It's a situation where they're sure. When they take $500 or less, they're not sure. So as much as we exalt the marketplace, I'm not sure the liquidity, the efficiency of the over-under win total market reacting to one game is great. But I think that if it was big enough, there'd be a reaction.
Agreed.
So there's been no reaction by Vegas. Doesn't mean this means nothing. It means it doesn't mean enough to really startle someone to go do something with it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's very few people that use analytics that can originate it, where they're creating their own algorithm. You know, so it, I'm not going to sit and say, well, unless you're a PhD, don't talk about it, because I'm not a PhD. I just think that in a weird way, the more you embrace, the better chance it is that you're going to have knowledge that is not deep enough to be certain you're right, and thus you run into times where you're wrong. Now, the question becomes, would you rather that talk radio guy who talks about the same things with the same stories 10 years later, oh no, he's going to go into that story again, right? I don't want that. I want the guy who's constantly grasping towards the future, understanding it's like a beta test. Every time you try something new, startups think like this. There's a saying in Silicon Valley, break things. Make things and break things. And the theory is you're going to make something and that car is going to crash. That car that's supposed to be driven by the computer, there's going to be some crashes. And that's the only way to get to the point that they work, right? And eventually in 50 years, the kids are going to be laughing at today's kids saying, I can't believe you used to drive your car, guaranteed. So we want to give Colin and all sportscasters who are trying to strive, myself included, a break if it's not our area of greatest expertise, because we'd rather you be exploring. But I thought he said something today about sample size that I needed to try to explain a little bit. Because it's one thing not to want to do the math, but if you are a sports fan, you can't really be a sports fan without understanding the basics of analytics. You can think they're garbage, but you got to understand them because most people consider them important. So if you're going to talk to guys about sports or gals, you better know. So anyone listening, if you're analytically driven or not, you should know about the basics of analytics. And one of the things that they talk about, and this is a very simple 90-second deal, is sample size. So to give a quick example, if Fez and I flip a coin and I'm betting on heads and you're betting on tails, Fez, and it comes up heads, right now, if we stop, it's 100% heads. If Fezzik said, I go, Fez, I know it's heads, but I'm going to give you 10-1 on the next 50-50 flip. And Fez said, no way, man. Heads is what it seems to be. Well, sample size, right, is how many reps, how many examples does it take before the results are meaningful? Tim Tebow, right? If you just look at winning, in fact, if you look at his whole, there is no, the sample size ran out because he never ended up losing. I mean, losing in any major way. They just eventually figured, even though he's winning somehow, we don't understand it, so we're going to bench him. Again, that's pretty interesting. You think you'd let, for all the bad quarterbacks out there, you think you let the guy have a one losing season after making the playoffs. But that was sample size. They're saying what you see, those stats, those wins, they're deceiving. The truth hasn't shown itself yet. And if the coin was fair and we flipped it 1,000 times, it'd be pretty close to 50-50, right? So what Colin, so in general, sample size means the more reps you have, the more you can trust the data. Now, the PhDs have something called confidence level, where you can look at what the odds of something happening is, what the odds of what happened is, you know. So, and for example, Jimmy G, the math was simple, or not simple, Fez, but pretty basic. He threw 5 straight interceptions, and you said, what's the odds of him throwing an interception on any given play? You took the NFL average, and you said, to the power of 5, that is, what's the odds of something that happens 1 in every 30 times, was it, or so?
Yes.
Happening 5 straight times. So think about it. Imagine you had a 30-sided die, and you rolled it, and it came up 30. You're like, okay. And then the next 4 times, it came up 30. It would never, let's just say this. Try it, and let me know when you get the, the 5 straight 30s. It will take, on average, 25,000 or million.
Million.
Rolls of the dice. All right, so you can't just, people are going to say, well, small sample size. But actually, considering the unlikelihood of those events, the interceptions, it really isn't. It's a 25 million to one shot, right?
Disturbing.
It is disturbing. It's mildly alarming at minimum. So to me, here's what Colin said. He said, I don't need more small sample size with Jimmy G. I've got the small sample size of when he started with New England for those one or two games. He played 1.5. I got the small sample when he came in, quite frankly, in a season mop-up role when the 49ers had lost their playoff chances. Yeah, better than nothing. But And now I don't want 11 throws in a preseason game. It's actually the opposite, meaning the only time you need small samples, additional samples, is when the prior information isn't enough. So think of it like dating. You go on one date. The gal is the best gal you've ever met. You're more excited than you've ever been. Now, anyone with any half a brain is going to say, let's wait and see. But man, I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, I've said that before. Like, I know I'm too excited for this, you know, back in my single days. But man, she was great. Well, I didn't marry that one. I didn't marry that one. I eventually did. So we understand one isn't enough. But let's say you've been with your wife, like I've been with mine 13 years. Every day isn't a picnic. But when there's a bad day, just like certainly I give bad days, right? I think, okay, I've got third. I don't think this explicitly, but I do implicitly, or I guess subconsciously, you're thinking, hey, I know her, right? And she's a good person. She's a fun person, blah, 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 all the things I like. And thus this one exception, this small sample size doesn't matter because I know the truth. So once you know the truth, Tom Brady's a good quarterback. Now, what makes it more difficult is, oh, look, that good quarterback's off a knee injury. So now is he the same? Or the league has changed. You used to be okay not throwing that deep out, but now you. So what makes sports so fascinating is even when you got a big sample size, you've got to ask yourself how much of it is applicable to today, because the game has changed and the person has changed. But at minimum, the time you crave it the most, sample size, any new information, is when you don't have enough old information or prior information to make your assessment. Jimmy G, we've made somewhat of an assessment. The 49ers did to give him a big franchise level contract. But man, if there's anything that we crave, anyone, any quarterback, we crave sample size on, even if it's preseason. Because by putting him out there, you're saying these snaps are important enough to risk him getting hurt. So, yep. So it's full go. There's no red jersey or whatever. So to me, you can't act like it's the regular season, but you can't act like it's nothing. And on the heels of $25 million in one shot with five straight interceptions in practice, combined with a 0.0, anyone that thinks the odds of Jimmy G being that elite quarterback doesn't go down a little bit, you're not taking the new information in.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Baker Mayfield back in the news in an interview he did with GQ. He was quoted as saying, "I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones with the number 6 pick. Quote unquote, it blows my mind." Now, many people attributed quotes after that and him saying, talking about people overthinking the quarterback evaluation and also saying they forget that you've got to win. They attributed that to the same comments as him being critical of Daniel Jones. Baker has since denied that and spoken highly of Daniel Jones. So, of course, the media got a hold of this one as well.
Well, to me, him talking positively after unequivocally being negative is weak. In a weird way, I wish he said, listen, I have a right to have an opinion like anyone else, and I wouldn't have drafted him. Like, maybe that's bold, but at least it's true. How can you say that you're flabbergasted they drafted him, then say, but I think he's great? I think this team that drafted this great player made an insane decision. I mean, it makes no sense. But somehow we just nod, and you know, everyone hopes that he hopes the story goes away. Maybe we should talk about it every day until he admits he doesn't think he's any good. I guess we'd see what kind of power we have. So let me ask you this, Jonas, because in a way, again, as the fan, you're the perfect person. Do you believe there's certain people that are winners?
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And what are the qualities that lead them to be winners, do you think?
Hard work, focus, dedication. Those would be some of the qualities that I would look at.
Okay, so you're saying that one of the ways they winning shows itself is as the culmination of all that work.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say there's been players that, if anything, all that hard work would show itself in the performance of the player. So then in theory, performance leads to winning, but sometimes it doesn't. Charles Barkley, for example, performed amazingly well in his career. He never won the title. Now, you could say sample size, right? See where it comes in? Or you could say there was something about Chuck, as we call him here in Vegas, that he didn't have the eye of the tiger or whatever platitude we want to say at the end. And when the chips are down, he wasn't ready to die for whatever. So I think you're right. The motivation stuff leads to performance, but do you think there's another level after that?
Well, I kind of disagree in the evaluation of Chuck not being a winner that some people would call him, because we're basically judging guys on a team sport and we're attributing championships to that guy winning the championship when you need other pieces around you. You can't do it alone.
I would say with Chuck, though, if there's one player that you could actually say he held his own cards in a way or dealt his own hand, I mean, he forced himself out of Philly. He went to Phoenix by choice. Then he went to Houston. So in a way, he was chasing that ring. So maybe he wasn't a good talent evaluating the talent, perhaps.
Right, right.
But he had more control of his career than most, I would think.
Yeah, no, he called a shot a couple of times for sure.
Yeah, so, and you're right, though, when you go to a team sport, but I just think Jordan would have murdered someone. If someone was standing in the way of Jordan winning like, imagine Jordan, like, 34 with no titles. I mean, if there was a guy in his way, I think he'd disappear. I really do. I mean, you think I'm joking. You think he would have just sat around and let some guy keep him from winning? I mean, maybe just hurt his knee, like, you know, Tonya Harding style. But, I mean, he would not have allowed. That's a personal opinion, not Fox Sports Radio. But he would not have allowed Michael Jordan himself not to win a title. So, to me, this goes to the old debate. First off, it only makes sense that Baker wants to talk about winning. What's his calling card in college? He won.
Yep.
Right? So that's like asking a guy with one finger missing that plays piano for a living, do you think that nine-finger players can do well? No, actually. I mean, you're always going to back the category that you're in because you're betting on it. If Baker didn't think winning really mattered, he would be dismissing his own past. It only makes, like, I went to Ohio State and, just speaking honestly, got amazingly good grades. I think college is important. If I would have dropped out of college, I'd be talking about how, you know, it's oversold. Some people it's good, but, you know, look at my entrepreneurial success. It only makes sense that Jonas likes people with beards, right, Jonas?
Yeah, of course. That's my preferred avenue I like to shop on. Yeah, for sure.
So to me, with Baker Mayfield, to look at him and judge and say, oh, he's not nuanced enough, saying winnings is what matters the most, you got to excuse. First, he's a kid. He's not a GM. He's an NFL quarterback, but he's not a GM. He's not assessing what quarterbacks to draft. He might have an opinion. No one's paying him to do it, right? And then the idea that he's one of that cohort, to keep our theme vocabulary word going, of quarterbacks that won in college, it'd be crazy for him to not think it's important. So in a weird way, I agree with Colin that Mayfield did simplify things too much. But all I could say is, what can you expect from a kid whose job isn't picking NFL quarterbacks, who happened to be a quarterback that won in college, right?
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.